But maybe you're new here and you don't even know the front of the Bible from the back. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. So as you open it up, the first book is Genesis, chapter 38. When God chose a people to bless the world, a people through whom the Messiah would come, He started with a very old man and a barren wife. The man's name was... I hear it somewhere. The man's name? Abraham. What was Abraham's wife's name? What was her name before it was changed to Sarah? Sarai. What was Abraham's name changed? because they're starving. But it's a different story when it's just corruption. It's just total corruption that causes people to do this sin that they commit. He represents me. What was he doing going to a prostitute and saying, "How much do you want?" What was he even doing that for? He represents me, a moral failure. He represents you. Jesus came for people like Judah. I'm not intending, of course, to go into every detail about your life. But you know in your heart your own life. You know the dark things that are hidden inside that perhaps no one else even knows about. You know in the areas of your own life where you have messed up big time. You've messed up royally. You know of the things that you don't want anyone else to know about. And if I were somehow magically able to show on this screen all the things that have gone on in your life in front of everyone else here, I bet you would not see a quicker exodus out the exit doors of people. At night, the things that you lay down on your pillow and you think about, they run through your mind. Jesus understands all these things. That's why He came from the tribe of Judah. That's why He states, it's very clear, Jesus came from Judah. He came to show mercy to people who have messed up. And we have all messed up. Amen? He came to show mercy. He didn't come. Jesus did not come to judge, but to show mercy to people. We read through the New Testament the times that He evidenced this, showing mercy to people who needed mercy. The woman at the well, who was living with a man. She had 5 husbands. He came to show her mercy. The woman who the Pharisees came and threw at His feet, and they caught her in adultery. He came to show her mercy. He came to show mercy to sinners. Zacchaeus, the wealthy, corrupt tax collector. Remember Zacchaeus? The guy, he climbed up in the tree because he was a shorty. He came to show that man mercy. But we see a different story when it came to self-sufficient and people with pride. The people who were so religious that they thought that they were not like these other people. They would never associate themselves with these lesser people. They probably wouldn't want to associate with the tribe of Judah. They knew Judah, what he was like, and they didn't want to be even seen around people like that. Jesus had words for them. He called them hypocrites. He called them hypocrites because He came to save them. They tried to hide it behind a mask. He came to take up the side of people who can't even perhaps look in the mirror in the morning because they just don't like what it is that they see. They don't like what they see anymore. Ephesians 2:4 makes a simple statement. But God, who is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. This is one of the greatest attributes of God that we can thank Him for. You know, I look at some things in nature at times, and I get overwhelmed at times at how magnificent and awesome God is. You ever been up in an airplane at 30, 35,000 feet, and you take a look out the window as the sun rises, and you can kind of see the horizon of the earth, and you're just like, wow. And you think how insignificant you are. You ever lay down outside at night with your kids on the driveway and look up at the sky, at the stars, and you just, it's a clear night, and there's so many stars, and it just is awe-inspiring. And it just makes you want to sing and praise the Lord, how great Thou art, and all that kind of stuff. Listen, none of this compares to the attribute of God's mercy. Because that is what we are most in need of. Because Judah represents me. He represents me. Judah represents you. God delights in showing mercy. He is rich in mercy. Titus 3:5, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us. If you're here today, how many of you are saved here today? Raise your hand. If you're saved, raise your... If you're really saved, raise both hands. If you're not sure, just one hand will do. Why are you saved? Because of what you have done? Or because of God's mercy? Amen. Don't forget that. That's an attribute of God that we need the most. Is He is rich in mercy. The only reason you're here today is because God is rich in mercy. Not because of you. Because we're all a mess. We're all in that boat together of being a mess. Morally found wanting. We are all sinners. If all of us have been judged according to our actions, we would not be here. But God doesn't give us what we deserve because, as James says, mercy triumphs over judgment. God's mercy triumphs over judgment. And it's His mercy that saves us. Judah represents me. Point two. God is the master of messes. I like this. God is the master of messes. The woman, Judah's daughter-in-law, what was her name? Tamar. She became pregnant. She became pregnant. Can you see, can you think of a bigger mess? You take a look at this situation that's happened. Judah, for one thing, his sons were both wicked to Tamar. The Lord looked at them and saw wickedness. The Bible says that God saw their wickedness and He killed them. It was enough. And Tamar was left on her own in shame to go back to her family, to ask them to take care of her. And then the father-in-law goes, thinking that he found a prostitute, makes an arrangement, makes a deal. And it's his own daughter-in-law, and she gets pregnant. Can you think of a bigger, uglier, nastier mess? How can anything good come out of a man who hits on a prostitute that happens to be his daughter and she gets pregnant? But you know why Jesus came? To take the biggest mess in your life and in my life and do something beautiful with it. Jesus is the master of cleaning up messes. I've seen many people's lives who come to the Lord, who've been even at this church, and I take a look at what messes they have gotten themselves into, and it makes you scratch your head, it makes the mind boggle. Jesus can take a mess because He's the master of messes. Your marriage is a mess. Maybe your kids are a mess. I've known some who've come to the Lord and they've had so many partners or marriages or whatever, and kids all over the place through these many... And their life and their family is just a tangled up mess. And it makes a person scratch their head and say, where do you begin? Where do you begin to unravel this mess and put together a good life? But Jesus is the master of messes. I like Romans 5:20, and we need to read this on the occasion and remind ourselves that where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Is anything beyond God's handling? Is anything beyond God? On our vision statement in the back, our vision statement as a church, it talks about this kind of infectious love where sinners are welcomed and embraced and lovingly shown God's desire to accept them and forgive them. It talks about this church being a place where lives are truly transformed. not just taught religious practices and ways, where lives are truly transformed, because where sin increased, grace increased all the more. God, Jesus, is a master of messes. How many of you have heard of my cousin Jimbo? A few of you have. Cousin Jimbo. He's older than me. He's my sister's age. But I remember Jimbo when I was growing up. He was a neat young man. I remember one summer, my grandparents owned a trailer park, a large piece of land where mobile homes were parked. Had a swimming pool. We'd be swimming all day long with my sisters and Jimbo. Jimbo was there. Jimbo is my dad's brother's son. My dad's brother's son. I want to tell you, I don't come from a moral family upbringing, a moral family background, I should say. I had good parents. Praise the Lord for that. My grandfather left my dad's family when he was only 4. He was a drunk. He left him when he was 4. My dad and his brother Jim didn't have a father. Now, another father came along later. But their dad abandoned them when my dad was 4 years of age. My dad's brother Jimmy, he hated what his dad did. He hated that he was a drunk, but he grew up in the same manner and he became an alcoholic and a drunk himself. Messed up royally, big time. And he had children, and one of those was Jimbo. Jimbo. My own dad's parents, they met at a swingers club. Okay, so you got to realize what kind of family we're coming from. I have an auntie who was a porn star actress in my line. Okay, this is my family. I mean, we have great family reunion times. This is where my family comes from. And he had Jimbo. And he raised Jimbo up, not knowing the Lord. In fact, he mentioned a couple times they went to a church and they were just told all the things that they should do. And they just finally gave up and said, we can't possibly live up to that. We can't possibly be good enough. We can't possibly measure up to what these people are like. Well, time went on, and my cousin Jimbo ended up on the wrong side of the law. And there was a law in the state, in California, which came into effect that said, 3 times, 3 strikes, and you're out. You're in prison for life. You're in prison for life. For the past 10 years, my cousin Jimbo's been in prison. In fact, here I have his sheet, his record. Nevada Department of Corrections. He's in Nevada, a few hours from Las Vegas. James C. Fudge. He's a big guy. He's 6'4" with a big build, 250 pounds. He's got one charge of robbery with a minimum sentence of 3 years, maximum 13. Second charge is sexual assault. Minimum sentence of 10 years, maximum 25. But the third one, another sexual assault. No minimum, maximum 999 years. If he makes it to that, and he's not on a parole agenda, that's it. He's been in there for 10 years. He's now about mid-40s, 45. My sister, my father, been writing and corresponding to him on an odd occasion. They've been sharing with him a little bit. And a few weeks ago, a week before they came out to New Zealand, they took a visit, first time to actually get to visit in the prison. It's a big process. First time to visit the prison. They tried once before. They couldn't get in because of some formality. But they got in this time. They spent 5 hours with him. And when they left in tears, Jimbo prayed and he asked Jesus to come into his life and save him. He asked Jesus to save him. And later he wrote a letter to my sister, and he talked about how that Jesus has saved him now. This big, huge guy in prison for life. Messed up his family, messed up his life. He's trusted Jesus to be his Savior. And now he talks about how that he has a mission and a work in prison to do. He wants to share this with other guys. And he's big enough, you'll listen to him. He wants to share it with other guys in the prison. Sit down, little fellow. Let me tell you what I... And he said, you know, I want my mom and dad to come to know Jesus as well. My dad's been praying for his brother for a long time. Jesus is the master of messes. Matthew 1, verse 1 to 3 reminds us, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of... Do you hear that? Of all the sons Judah had, guess which one that God chose to bring His Son, the promised Messiah, through? Of all the sons Judah had, which one? The one that came from this mess. This enormous mess of a situation that we look at and say, how could that happen? God said, my son is coming through this line. Perez. The mess. Look how God identifies with us and encourages us. He uses the biggest mess and He turns it around and He's able to use it for His glory. What about your life? What about your life? What have you possibly done in your life? Can God take your life and turn it around and use it for His glory? Absolutely. Judah represents you. Judah represents me. And no matter what has happened in your life, I want to tell you that God is the master of messes. Praise the Lord for that. God can take a person like my cousin Jimbo and all that he's come through in his family, and He can take him and lift him out of that and save him. And He can take the mess that he's in. Yeah, he's in prison. And some of us may look at him and say, he deserves that. He's a danger to society, and I can't disagree with you. But God can take a mess like that and use him where he is for His glory. And if other people come to know Christ because of this, all the more glory and praise to God. Jesus is the master of messes. What can God do in your life? Some of you are here today and you've been putting off the Lord over and over again. And I don't know why. Maybe some of you think you can be religious enough. It's not about religion. It's not about what you can do. Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save people like Judah. Maybe some of you think you've messed up too bad. I've done too many bad things. My life is just so screwed up. I can't possibly expect God to bail me out of that. I want to tell you today, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Remember? Remember? He's the master of messes. Would you stand with me, please? As you're standing, please be very quiet. Please be very quiet.